Well, Easter has come and gone. Or has it? Easter was two Sundays ago, but Easter is also today. Easter will be tomorrow. Easter is always and everywhere. And that is the truth. But there is a spiritual discipline required in order for us to be able to discern and cling to this truth. And that discipline can be very, very difficult to hold on to, given the realities of the lives that we live. And what I hope you can always remember is that we can find that discipline right here. Very early on Easter Monday morning, the very next day after Easter Sunday, I found myself standing in the checkout line at a huge supermarket. Now, that should not have been a particularly bad thing to have happened to me, but believe me, it was. It was inexpressibly unfortunate. There was a man in front of me in the checkout line. His cart was full to overflowing over the top and also completely underneath. So I settled in. The cashier was taken aback at the enormity of the task before her, and after struggling for some 15 minutes to process the man's order, she finally remembered to ask the question that we're always asked when we walk up to a cashier at a checkout line in a supermarket. Did you find everything you were looking for? Where in God's name did that question come from? We've been shopping for maybe an hour, desperately trying to find items that have been cruelly hidden from us. And when the ordeal is finally over and we just absolutely give up and head home, we walk up to the cashier and we're asked that chipper, utterly unhelpful and ill-timed question. Well, I'm so sorry that I have to report to you today that question was not ill-timed for the man in front of me in the checkout line. To my absolute horror, the question was perfectly timed. The cashier asked, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" "Well," he replied, "I was looking for an Easter sweater for my dog, and I saw one on aisle 13 in pet supplies, but it wasn't marked down along with your post-Easter sale." And then came the cashier's response. She's on the phone with her manager. "Are the Easter dog sweaters on sale? They should be, because Easter is over." And that was the message for Easter Monday for me in the checkout line. And that is what the world is trying to tell us every minute of every hour of every day. Easter is over. It's just a date on a calendar. It's past. It's history. And here we are, back in the long and interminable checkout lines, that we call life. Or rather, to describe it in another way, consistent with the scripture reading from St. Luke's Gospel, we're trudging along on the road to Emmaus. And making our way along that road, on the way to Emmaus, it can be a long and arduous journey. Just ask Cleopas and his friend. You see, it was the afternoon of Easter itself. The very first Easter, the very day of the resurrection of Jesus. They had already heard the good news of the greatest, most hopeful moment in all of human history. But any joy that they had felt earlier that day seems to have disappeared. They were downcast, and any hope that had been theirs had been extinguished. Luke tells us they stood still, looking sad. They stood still, looking sad. So, was Easter over? A stranger came up to them as they were making their way along the road to Emmaus, struggling with their sorrow. They spoke to him about the disappointment they felt in Jesus. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Our hope is past tense. That's what we had hoped. I repeat, this was Easter, the literal day on which the resurrection had occurred. And where were they? Where were their hearts? They were paralyzed by sorrow, grief, fear, and doubt. But somehow, in the midst of all that, they found the strength to invite this stranger to dinner. And it was when they shared a meal with him that it happened. At the dinner table, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. They recognized his presence, and they felt his power, and they understood his limitless eternal love. In the breaking of the bread. Joe Onion Donna was my very best friend in the whole wide world. I came to know and love Joe when I was serving the church in the West African nation of Ghana. Father Joe was the parish priest of St. James Anglican Church in the isolated village of Binaba. And during my time in Binaba, there was a period of intense suffering that unfolded. The fickle rainy season one year simply would not come. The heavens seemed to be shut up, and relenting famine emerged. People were trapped in gnawing hunger. People were getting sick and dying. One evening during this horrific period, a messenger came up to me and told me that Joe wanted to see me in his family's mud hut just as quickly as I could get there. I raced to his house, and as soon as I arrived, I realized why he'd called on me. Joe's little 2-year-old daughter, Felicia, was breathing her last. The famine was claiming another victim. I was holding little Felicia as she passed away. I struggled to mumble some prayers, something about the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After my halting prayers, I just silently handed her little body back to Joe and his wife Mary. Joe's eyes never left Felicia as tears streamed down his cheeks, and after many minutes he began to speak to her. "I'm here with my brother Tom, Felicia. He's reminding us about Easter. Felicia, we will make it together. This is a difficult part of the journey, but we will make it. The risen Christ is with us, Felicia." Joe continued to look at little Felicia for several minutes. The silence was agonizing, but somehow sweet and healing at the same time. And then suddenly, Joe looked up and into my eyes with a fierceness that I had never seen from this gentle person before. And he spoke the words that I know I am never, ever going to forget. "Tom," he said, "we need to celebrate the Holy Eucharist." With tears streaming down his cheeks, he wanted to begin his ministry of grief with the Eucharist. He wanted to celebrate communion before heading out on the road to Emmaus. And that is exactly what we did. It might have been around 10 o'clock at night. There was no electricity in the entire village of Benaba, and the only light we had was the fierce brilliance of the moon and the Milky Way that shines so brightly in isolated areas like Benaba. So the Holy Eucharist was celebrated that night under a huge baobab tree as we were enveloped in a starlit heavenly embrace. As we began the celebration, word spread throughout the village about Joe's loss, and people stumbled out of their huts and began to join us around the tree to celebrate. We celebrated. We celebrated. At the moment of the breaking of the bread, Joe lifted his trembling, grief-racked arms aloft, holding up the loaf. He broke it beneath the glistening stars, and he shouted in a powerful voice, "Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And the people gathered around the tree responded, "Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia." In the eternal brilliance of that shining moment, I saw something and I felt something that I had never seen nor felt before. I felt the presence of Christ in a brand new way. I felt His presence. I felt the power of His love. I felt His insistence that life must go on. I felt His promise that life never ends. I came to feel all these things in that shining moment like I'd never felt them before. It was Easter. It was Easter that night, all over again. There was Easter joy, just like the unexpected Easter joy that Cleopas and his friend experienced when he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So in the years since that blazing nighttime celebration under the baobab tree, I've come to realize that, like Joe, like Cleopas and his friend, we also need to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Time after time after time. Because, you know, the austere checkout lines of life can be long and lingering. Sometimes they really do seem to be interminable. We need reminders, which is why we come here. We are together, huddled against so many forms of darkness. Scripture is read, hymns are sung, and the bread is broken. And you know what? It is Easter all over again. Because He is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Alleluia, Christ is risen.